Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Praise the Lord. Okay, I want to welcome everybody. It's time for the message. There's a teaching outline right next to you. If you want to follow along, take these scriptures home with you and check out my doctrine and go deeper with it and find out what the Word of God is saying. I want you to have that and take it with you, and you can fill that in as we go. If you're listening in the cafe, there's a big group of people listening in the cafe, big group of people listening online right now. I'm thankful that we are now just about 99.9% ready for prime time with our online streaming, and that's going great. I'm excited about that. And today, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been in a circumstance or a situation in life where you just felt like you were going down for the very last time? You just felt like overwhelmed would be an understatement. I mean, life was getting so crazy, so much was happening, kind of like this week, and you just feel like, man, this is just too much. It's more than anything I've ever experienced. How many, just an informal survey here, how many of you have recently had an experience like that? Show me your hand. Three of you. How many have ever had an experience like that? All right, good. So you guys must be doing great. Well, I got good news for you, because the Bible says in times like that, we are not alone. Here's what Jesus said. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another what? Helper. You say, I need help. And God says, I will send you a helper that he may abide with you forever. Today, we're kicking off a series of teachings that's going to go all through the month of November. I'm going to be talking to you about the Holy Spirit. And this series is called The Helper, because the Holy Spirit is our helper. And this is the first time I've taught on the Holy Spirit in probably 2 or 3 years. I'm very excited about a lot of the things that I'm going to be sharing all this month. I want to lovingly dedicate this whole series, this morning's message and the whole series, I want to dedicate this series to the Beatties, to the Cohens, to the Swanders, and to all those who need God's help. The good news is you have a helper. And we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. So I want to introduce you to my friend, the Holy Spirit. I want to give you kind of like Holy Spirit 101. Now, if you don't know much about the Holy Spirit, and a lot of Christians don't, it's surprising that Christians don't know more about the Holy Spirit. If you don't know much about him, then I'm going to unpack some great stuff for you this month. If you do know him, we're going to just repaint that white fence in your life, that beautiful place of understanding of the Holy Spirit. And I would like to begin with some things that the Holy Spirit is not. Because he is actually the most misunderstood member of the Godhead. People pretty well understand Jesus. They understand the Father. But boy, they've got some wild ideas when it comes to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is often misunderstood. So let me say to us from the beginning, as we're meeting him and focusing on him, the Holy Spirit is not a cosmic force like you saw in Star Wars. The force is with you. He is not a green phantom haze. He's not a blue laser beam. He's not an electromagnetic field. He is a person. He's not a force. He's not an experience. He's not something that you feel when you get excited. He is a person. And I want you to know him. He's not a heavenly retiree. You know, somebody that used to do great things. You know, it's like people say, oh, I wish we could just go back to the Bible days when the dead were raised and the sick were healed. And back then, that was when the Holy Spirit was moving. Of course, now he no longer moves. He's tired. He's retired. He's got a pipe. He's sitting on his porch. He's rocking. And he's thinking of the good old days when he used to move. I'm here to tell you that the Holy Spirit is very active in the world today. And he is moving. He is multitasking everywhere all at once. He was moving. He was the one that moved in your life. You thought you came to Christ, but actually the Holy Spirit brought you to Christ. He was moving in your life before you ever knew him, before you ever understood him. He's moving here. He's moving there. He's moving over there. He's moving all around the world. He is active. He is dynamic. He is not retired. He has not taken a break from planet Earth. He is moving in the earth today. He's not a lunatic religious sect. It's not some kind of a weird denomination, something that we're, you know, snake handlers. Now, if you're a snake handler here, please, no offense. But he's not a snake handler. He's not a weird, eerie experience that only certain people enter into. He's not crazy. He doesn't deny science. The Holy Spirit is the author of all truth. And he knows and he understands. And he is certainly not a spiritual embarrassment. You know, the holidays are coming up. Every one of us has kind of a relative, you know, like an Uncle Ed, you know, that just kind of messes up the family gathering. You want to just lock him in the back room, you know, while you've got company. And some churches have done that with the Spirit of God. They've said, we're embarrassed by what the Holy Spirit did. We don't want prophecy and tongues and healing and all that jibber jabber and all that stuff. You know, we need to lock that aside. We need to keep that off the, you know, program, because really, it's our music that people want to hear. It's our clever messages that will really get the job done. But I'm here to tell you, Holy Spirit is not somebody that we should be embarrassed of. In fact, he's the most attractive. He's the most compelling. He's the most glorious experience that a lost person or any person could ever have. If we strip off all the religion and we strip off all the trappings that people have tried to associate with it, if we really know who he is and what he does, we would bring him out of the closet and say, Holy Spirit, take over. Because the Holy Spirit is not an embarrassment. He's been very misunderstood, mistaught. And so we shouldn't be afraid of him. The next thing I'll say is the Holy Spirit is fully God. He is the exact image of God. He is God himself. The Bible reveals God as a trinity of three co-equal, united, yet distinct persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I don't understand the Trinity. And I would say, I don't either. But then we probably would struggle to understand God. We probably would struggle to understand who he is and how he works and what he's like, because we are limited and God is unlimited. How are we going to understand him? We do know certain things. We know that there are not three gods. We know there is but one God. But we know there is that the one God exists as eternally as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So when we talk about, it's not like the Father, he's the real big guy, you know, we're working our way up to the Father. Or it's not like Jesus, hey, Jesus, he's the center of everything, you know, and the Holy Spirit, you know, he's there somewhere. We've got to understand the unity of God, the beauty of God, the oneness of God, and how the fullness of God exists in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So once again, we're not talking about an it. We're not talking about a force. We're talking about a member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, who is as God. If he's God, that means he's omnipotent. He has all power. He's omniscient. That means he knows everything that can be known, that he is omnipresent. If he is God, that he is everywhere all at one time. There is no place where he is not there. The Holy Spirit is divine. He is God. And yet, the Holy Spirit is a person. I want to mention this kind of strongly. The third person of the Godhead or of the Trinity is the Holy Spirit. He's a person. And when you are a person, that means you have a personality. You have a personality, and you can be known personally. You can know the Holy Spirit as a person, personally. You can personally experience him. You can encounter him. The Holy Spirit can be known. He can be felt. He can be talked to. You can have relationship with. You can experience. You can have communion with the person of the Holy Spirit. And it is something very special. The way most people experience the Holy Spirit is by going, or many people, by going back and reading stories in the Bible or even of history of times when he did move. And we think, wow, that must have been special. It's kind of like that movie Jurassic Park, when the main character, what was his name? Dr. Alan Grant. He spent his whole life studying dinosaurs, you know, dinosaur DNA, dinosaur bones, dusty rocks, petrified things, and charts and graphs. He spent his whole life trying to discover what is a dinosaur and what dinosaurs are like, and never met a dinosaur until the moment came in the movie Jurassic Park when they had recreated a dinosaur, and boom, now he's face to face with a real living dinosaur. My brothers and sisters, it's one thing to read about fossils and look at dead bones and relics of the past, and it's another thing to experience the living, dynamic presence of something that is alive and real. And as for me, I am not content just to read about the Holy Spirit and what he did in the pages of the Bible or in the pages of history. I want to know who he is right now. I want to experience him as he is. I want to encounter the mighty Spirit of God. And I want to challenge you, if you're living a life that's just been fossilized, and you're just learning about dusty old miracles, why don't you step in by the power of the Holy Spirit to a brand new life where you can experience miracles and you can experience who the Holy Spirit is and experience communion with him and know him and experience him as your helper. How many would like to do that? He's a person and you can experience him. He's real. When we come to Christ and we give our lives to Jesus, the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside of us. This is the miracle of Christianity. See, because I've studied world religions for many years, and probably you have too, you would know that in many world religions, God is out there. He's far away. He's detached. Or some religions hold that God is in, he is in every object. He's in the chair. He's in the tree. He's in the beetle that you stepped on. That's why you shouldn't step on him. He's in your tire. He's in the waterfall. You know, God is, you know, he's in everything. But only Christianity holds the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. In other words, that God lives in us. Paul said, "Know you not that you are the temple of the what? Holy Spirit." So you are a house that God lives in. And that is something very special, something very unique, that God would dwell in you. We say, you know, to our children, "Tell me where Jesus is." And we get all delighted. They, you know, they point to their heart. And that's true. That's perfectly fine because God is one. But really, who is living on the inside of us? Really, more properly understood, it's the Holy Spirit that indwells the believer. So if you have faith in Christ and you've accepted Jesus as your Lord, you are housing the Holy Spirit. He's in you. You don't have to pray. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the mighty power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to be careful to say today and next week that you already have the Holy Spirit. But there's an experience where the Holy Spirit whelms you and covers you and baptizes you and in his power, and you can experience that. And that's something that every believer can partake of. It's the indwelling Christ through his Spirit that comes into our lives. So he's not out there. He's in here. Through the Holy Spirit, God comes near. He comes near. Now for me, and I think about this week, the issue of comfort becomes very important. Where does the comfort come from? For me, the most comforting thought about the Holy Spirit is that he's my helper. We could talk a lot about the exciting thoughts about the Holy Spirit, inspiring thoughts of the Holy Spirit, amazing thoughts of the Holy Spirit. But if you're a person that needs comfort, maybe you should think of the Holy Spirit this way. I'm not alone. I have a helper. Because you're there and you're thinking, I'm going down for the last time. I can't do this marriage anymore. Nobody's helping me. I can't live this way any longer. Nobody's helping me. My parents are gone. My family is left. I'm alone. How am I going to find the strength to do what I need to do? and you're feeling alone. And I'm telling you, the most comforting thing that you can think of is that you have a helper. That God is your helper, and that he's in you, and that he's close to you, and he won't leave you. You know, years and years ago, they did a translation in Africa. They were translating the Bible into the language of the local people. The language was Kare, the Kare language. And like any good interpreter would do, they're trying to make sure that the words that they're choosing would really speak to the culture of the people. And they got to the passage describing the Holy Spirit, the passage that we just read, John 14, where Jesus said, "And I will pray to the Father, and I will send you another helper." And they were trying to think of what would be the right word for that Greek, that particular Greek word is paraclete. And paraclete. And we'll talk about that word a few more times through this month. But they were trying to find just the right word. And some translations use helper and some use comforter. But they were trying to think what would just be a home run word for this language. And the translators were there and lived with the people. And they noticed that when they would take their journeys, the Kare people of Africa would take their journeys, and they had porters, people that would carry these enormous loads as the people would migrate over the seasons or move for whatever their reasons were. And everybody would carry a load except one guy who was on the expedition. He didn't have a load. And they learned this about the Kare people, that the one guy who didn't have a load had a name. And it was the original name, and I don't have that name, but the rough translation of that name was the one who falls down beside you. The one who falls down beside you. So they asked a few questions. Why is that one guy called the one who falls down beside you? They said, because you see, on a long and hard journey, eventually a person's strength will give out, and they will fall down under the load of what they are carrying. And one person on the journey is designated not to carry a load, but to fall down next to the person who has fallen down and to be with them in that moment and to take that burden off of their shoulders and roll it over onto his own shoulders. And he will pick the person who has fallen up and he will stand and they will continue on in their journey. And the Bible translator said, "I think we found our word. I think we found our word for the one who is our helper, the one who falls down beside us." You see, the Holy Spirit is walking with you in your journey, in your marriage, in your career, in your life. He's walking with you, and he doesn't have a burden, so he can pick up your burden whenever it's necessary, and he'll keep you moving forward. How many of you are happy that the Holy Spirit is a helper? He will help you in your life's journey. You are a believer, and you must say this. This must be your attitude in your life. This is how you live. Because I am a believer, I have a helper. I am not alone. As a follower of Jesus, and people may come and people may go, even people that are close, even people that are dear, family may come and they may go, and that's the nature and the rhythm of life, but the Holy Spirit will always be there. And in the moment that you are overwhelmed, he will be the one who falls down beside you and carries you. Did you ever dream in your life that you would have such a marvelous promise? Did you ever dream in your lonely life that you would never be forsaken, that someone would be near you, not off in heaven somewhere, but living inside you, who has all of God's power, who has all of his knowledge, who has all of his love? This is the Holy Spirit. You have a helper. And if you don't know Christ, and if you've never opened your heart to the Lord, I believe the reason God brought you, I believe the Holy Spirit was working in your life when he made sure that you were here today. And you may have resisted that, and you may not even know, how in the world did I end up with these crazy people on a Sunday morning when I should be sleeping in? But God saw to it that you were here because he loves you. He has an unbelievable plan for your life. He wants you, and he's wooing you. He's drawing you through the Holy Spirit to a place of surrender to Jesus. And at the end of the service today, we're going to say a prayer together, and I pray you'll say it with me. I would never do anything to embarrass you, but I want you to say a prayer today. I want you to say, "Dear Jesus, come into my heart. I can't do this by myself. I need a helper." And he will answer that prayer. And he will fall down beside you. And he will take your burden. And he will change your life. Now, before we go to the next piece of this message, I want to make something available to you guys because there's so much to say about the Holy Spirit. And even when I'm done preaching for a month on it, I will not have even scratched the surface. So we're going to offer each week some extra materials. And I don't know if you want this or not, but here's a little list of 33 ways that the Holy Spirit helps us. I'm just going to be able to give you a few today. But if you want 33 ways that the Holy Spirit will help you, just send an email to info@gccsj.com and say, "I'd like to get that list of 33 things the Holy Spirit does to help people." And then we'll just clip that PDF to your email. We'll send it back to you, and it'll live forever on your digital device. You'll have it forever. And so we want to make that available to you. But here, now let's move forward and ask the question, how does the Holy Spirit help believers? You're a believer, you're a follower in Jesus. What can you expect from the Holy Spirit? I could give you just three in the short time that we have. First of all, he empowers us when we are weak. Acts 1:8, Jesus made the promise that you will receive what? Come on, church, you will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit comes into your life. In other words, a switch gets thrown. A switch gets thrown. Boom, the breaker is on. Now you have a source of power that you never had before. I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking or the power of a strong will, or I'm talking about the indwelling presence of Christ through the Holy Spirit that makes your life powerful. My question for you today is, are you living a powerful life? Not are you attending a powerful church? Not did you have a powerful moment? I'm asking you, are you living a powerful life? Because you can through the Holy Spirit, and that's the promise. You can minister in power. You can pray in power. You can live in power. You can work in power, a power that will carry you even when you don't have the strength to carry yourself. I travel a lot, and sometimes the connections, you know, at airports can be tight, and I'm always grateful when I see a moving sidewalk, especially if I'm late for a plane. I just say, and I'm not a, I mean, I'm happy to be walking, but you know, moving sidewalks take walking to a whole nother level. It's awesome. You know, especially if you're running late and you jump on that thing and you keep walking, but as you're walking, that thing is also moving you. There's like a power. You haven't stopped walking. You're still walking, but there's a power that's moving you even faster. And that might be a crude but accurate illustration of what a spirit-empowered life is. God doesn't do it for you. God isn't going to live life for you. But he will add his power underneath the walk that you are walking, and he will cause you to be able to cover ground that no human would be able to cover apart from his presence. You'll be able to be the father that you want to be. You'll be able to get there on time. You'll be able to make the connection, and your life will work because you have the assistance of God helping you in every area. He puts a conveyor belt under your finances and under your emotions, under your sense of yourself and how you experience life and how you experience people around you. There's a power underneath all that that's moving you forward in a really dynamic way. And it's not just power for good services, although that's so important. We want to have good services. But what about the other 6 days of the week? You know, what about life when you're not in church? What about when you're a single mom and you got two kids in diapers, or you're working two jobs and you're not making it? You need a conveyor belt. You need power in your life, and the power comes from the Holy Spirit. When you are feeling weak, he will be strong. He will bear you up. He will not only fall down beside you, but he'll pick you up and move you forward. This last week was a tough week, and for many, many, many of us, I mean, weeks like this will make you aware of how limited and how finite you are. You just wish you could wave a magic wand and all of it would go away. You wish you could wake up from a nightmare and it would all go away. You wish that you could heal your loved ones and make sure that they know they're going to be okay. We'll still have tribulation. We'll still have trouble. We'll still have uphill battles. But that's what makes the power so glorious. It's not power to live a life without challenge. It's a power that takes you through the challenge and gets you to where you need to be. Look at Romans 8, verse 28. And the Holy Spirit does something. He helps us. Remember, he's our helper, right? The Holy Spirit helps us in our distress. When we're losing it, when we're coming unglued, when we don't know what is going to happen next, that's where the Holy Spirit takes over. He starts moving underneath you. Well, we don't even know what we should pray for. Ever been there? Ever just wept in God's presence, say, God, I don't even know what to be talking to you about right now. Holy Spirit comes, hey, I got you. I'm with you right now. Here we go. We're going to lift up our prayer. We're going to believe for a better tomorrow. It's going to be okay. The Holy Spirit helps us when we don't even know what to pray for or how we should pray. He prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Spirit pleads for believers. How? In harmony. He prays the perfect will of God through us. We start talking about praying in the Holy Spirit in this series and what happens when you kind of yield your natural prayer life to a supernatural prayer life and God himself, that escalator, that moving sidewalk starts coming underneath you and moving you forward in prayer, and you start experiencing God as a person, not a force, not an it, but he's your helper and he's helping you to pray. You don't even know what the will of God is and he's praying through you. And you feel like you're connecting with God and you're praying the right way. And you have loved ones and people that are hurting and you don't even know how to pray. You say, I don't even know what to ask you for. But there's that Holy Spirit power coming through you, helping you to know exactly how to pray, when to pray, what to break, what to bind, what to loose. It's a supernatural thing. He helps us in our weakness. He prays through us in the will of God. We all need more power. And we have it through the Holy Spirit. The second piece of this is this. How does the Holy Spirit help people? He guides us when we need direction. I'm so grateful for the guidance of the Lord. I'm so thankful for the promise of Jesus when he said the Spirit of truth is going to come and he's going to guide you. He's going to help you find your way. You ever felt like you were lost? You didn't know what to do? You have to make a decision. You got to make a choice. And God is guiding you and he will guide you at the right time. Through his Holy Spirit. When you feel overwhelmed, when you're not sure you can do it, he'll show you how to do it. I don't know how to be a dad. The Lord will show you. I think I've told you this story before. Kathy and I were missionaries in the Philippines, and there we were with our two children and having a good time. Apostle C got in touch with us and shocked us by saying, I think you're supposed to come home from the mission field, leave the ministry that you're doing, and I want to prepare you to be the next pastor of this church. I was shocked. I didn't see that coming. I was a missionary. And the first thing I thought was, I'm overwhelmed. To pastor the church that I got saved in, to what if nobody likes me? What if nobody follows me? I don't know if I know how to do this. Everybody likes him, but what if they don't like me? They all do what he says to do, but what if they don't do what I say to do? And you know, it's just overwhelmed. What if I fail? What if everybody walks away? What if nobody gives? What if nobody sings? What if nobody prays? I was overwhelmed. And I had a dream. I'm trying to pray about this. And Kathy was as overwhelmed as I was, maybe more so. And I had a dream, and the dream went like this. I was in a 747 airplane. I was a happy passenger sitting on that plane about halfway back. We were having a very nice flight when suddenly my peace was interrupted by an intercom on the loudspeaker system that said, David Canis Tracy, you're being summoned to the cockpit. Oh, Lord, I must have something in my bag that I'm not supposed to have. What did I do? I felt guilty right away. No. I'm scared. My heart is beating. And they start explaining to me in the cockpit, you know, the flight's going okay so far, but you have to be the one to land the plane. I said, I don't know how to fly a 747. That's ridiculous. You got the wrong, you guys are, you know, you're having a serious issue here. I'll talk to you later. You got to find a pilot. They said, there's nobody, you're the one that has to do this. And I mean, that same anxiety and panic, this is so far beyond. I don't know how to fly a 747. I've never flown a kite, much less an airplane, and certainly not a 747. How is this even happening? It was like, you're kind of getting the drift. This is the dream. And then they started to tell me, look, it's going to be okay because we're going to give you a headset. And you're going to sit here, and the plane has some automatic systems, and so it kind of keeps itself level, and there's just a few things you have to do, but you will listen, you will be told what to do in your ear, because the control tower is going to be talking to you. And they're going to be telling you, first you do this, now just a little bit more, a little bit less, and they're going to guide you every step of the way. And I realized that if I could be guided, maybe I would not destroy myself and everyone who was with me. And I woke up, and it really spoke to me, and I hope it speaks to you, that when you feel overwhelmed, you feel like, this is way beyond me. This is like, there's a voice in your ear. There's a Holy Spirit that will guide you to be a father, to be a business owner, to take on a ministry challenge that you've never taken on before. You don't know exactly what to do. But life is like that. You just kind of step in and you trust the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to have all the answers because you know the person who does have all the answers, and he will lead you into truth. Isn't that marvelous? That's what every one of us have through the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 says this, it's a child of God that is led by the Spirit. You are a child of God. The Holy Spirit will lead you, and he will guide you into all truth. I'm coming now to the third point, and the worship team is going to come. We're going to have a little bit of Holy Spirit time, some prayer time, some singing, and we're going to have a marvelous chance to pray here at the end of the service. But let me give you this third piece before we go. What does the Holy Spirit do to help us? He gives us power, he gives us guidance, and he gives us protection. The Holy Spirit will protect you in times of battle. 1 John 4:4 says, you belong to God, my dear children, for you have already won your fight. Everybody say, I've already won. This is what the Bible says now. Boy, I hope I make it. No, you've already won. I hope the devil doesn't defeat me. No, you're already victorious. Why? How could God say that you have already won? Because of the Spirit who what? Lives in you. You are unsinkable. You cannot be defeated. Not ultimately, not really, not fully in life. You can't lose because the Holy Spirit is greater. Greater is he that is in you than that spirit that is in the world. He already lives on the inside of you. In Greek warfare, you know, in this term that I was mentioning, remember paraclete, not parakeet, I said paraclete. Everybody say paraclete. It's a very special term. Pastor John's going to help me here. In ancient Greece, that's the language that the Bible was written in. The New Testament was written in Koine Greek. And the warriors, when they would fight, they would always be deployed in pairs. So they would have their shield and their sword. And no matter which way they turned, they had somebody always covering their back. I'm getting to know Pastor John in a way that I didn't expect. But this is how they fought. So that somebody always had your blind side. And the Greek word for the person who had your back, your fellow warrior, was paraclete. So when Jesus said this, he said, I'm going to send you a paraclete. I'm going to send you somebody who, when you find yourself in the battles of life, you will never be alone. You will always have someone guarding the places that you can't see, watching over you. Did you ever dream in your wildest dreams that God would give you a gift that would make you so secure. You know, life is a battle. How many have felt the battles? And it will continue. Thank you, Pastor John. It will continue to be a battle, but I'm here to tell you, though life is a battle, you never have to face those battles alone, because the Holy Spirit will be with you. I want to close with just a quick story. I wasn't able to share it in the first service, but worship team, come on, just get in ready, and I'm going to close with this. I was 24 years old. Kathy was pregnant with Aaron. You were 8.5 months pregnant. I was working on my master's degree from 4 to 6 a.m. every morning. I was busy getting us ready to move into our first house. We were becoming new parents. I was very busy in the ministry, overwhelmed with time, kind of had that feeling of going under. And we're moving into this new house, and moving is such a task, and this house was filthy. There was so much work to do, and I was trying to get this house ready for my family. We had a deadline. We were closing escrow. I had never bought a house before. I was overwhelmed. And right in the midst of all of that, Kathy comes down with a double infection in her ears. She's 8.5 months pregnant. And I literally cannot take care of her. And one of the greatest Christians I've ever met in my life is sitting right there on the front row. It's Sister C, Shirley Canastrasi. And she said to me, "You don't worry about Kathy. She's coming to my house. I'm taking her. And I'm taking care of her. And you finish your moving and you get your family moved in. Don't worry about her." And I said, "Somebody's got my back." And I want to say to you, when you are overwhelmed, somebody's got your back. Somebody's got your back. He's called the helper. He's willing to point the way. The reason you don't know much about him is because he doesn't talk about himself. He's okay being overlooked. But today, God has shined the light on him. And if you reach out to him, he'll fall down beside you and he'll take the load of your sin, the load of your pain, the load of your life. He'll be what you've always been missing. It doesn't happen all at once, but sometimes we drift. Just a little bit here, a little bit there, we drift away from God. And then we find ourselves in a moment like this and we come back to the Lord. There's a prayer on the screen that I want you to be able to pray. It's a prayer of faith. It's a prayer of saying, "Jesus, come into my life. Lord, I don't want to drift. I can't do this by myself. I do feel overwhelmed, but I know you're my help." And I want the prayer teams just to come. And as we say this prayer, the prayer teams are coming. And I would like us to say this prayer together. Come on, let's say it out loud. Everyone hearing my voice, if you're online, if you're in the cafe, let's all pray out loud together. Here we go. Father God, I thank you for the wonderful Holy Spirit. I joyfully confess that Jesus has sent a helper for every battle and burden of life. Holy Spirit, forgive me for overlooking your role in my life. I know that I can't do this on my own. Fill me and help me. Now just say this, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you that you've promised to be with me until the end. I believe I'm born again through faith in you, Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, I thought it was really special for us to be together today and to sense a feeling of family and community, to sense a feeling of the Holy Spirit and things that are holy, things we don't deserve. I commend to you the grace of God. I release to you the peace of God. You're going to go into your life today. You're going to walk out these doors. And greater is he that is in you. Greater is he that is in you than anything waiting for you in your world. Do you believe that? Because you have a helper. Amen. If you need prayer, if you came today just thinking, "Man, I'd just love to have somebody pray with me. I need to talk to somebody." That's what these folks are up here for. So The invitation is here for you to meet one of our pastors, one of our elders. God bless you. I love each and every one of you. You're dismissed with the blessing of the Lord. You're going now. If you're interested in information about hosting an Inspired Life group coming in February, you'll go to the table now. You'll pick up a folder, okay? All your questions will be answered. God bless you.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.